You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking only at a UU congregation would you show up on a Sunday morning to hear a nice Jewish girl like me preaching about Jesus. But here we are. If you're wondering, how did we get here? Here's how. This past April 27th, at precisely 10:31 p.m., UUCL's very hardworking and multi-talented worship chair, Wendy Testa, sent out the annual information packet to about 10 of us who are on the summer sermon circuit. We fill in while our Reverend Dallas is away. And if you're interested in getting on that list, see Wendy. The email from her came with an invitation to pick our dates for this year's dinner guest theme. I mentioned the timing of the email. Does anybody remember? 10:30. Yeah. The first reply came in at 7:59 the following morning. It was from me. It said, "I'll take Jesus Christ on August 2nd. I didn't hesitate or even really think it through. All I thought was, OMG, I have so many questions for him. As it turned out, I wasn't the only one thinking that. At precisely 9:03, Martha Mason chimed in with this reply. OMG, Tamar, I was gonna take Jesus, LOL. I'm quoting. That's okay, I'll take Mary Magdalene. It was gonna be from her perspective, anyway. Indeed, Martha will be here next Sunday with her dinner guest, Mary Magdalene, whose lament you just heard, so beautifully rendered by Brenda and today's UUCL band. Consider that a teaser for next Sunday, and let's give them another round of applause. Like Martha and me, I imagine many of you would have lots of things to discuss with Jesus. I'd want to ask him so many things, like, what does the H stand for? Did you know there is a black hole you can go down on the internet with this question? In fact, there is nothing about Jesus that isn't a deep, dark black hole on the World Wide Web. Trust me. But seriously, I would want to ask Jesus if he had any idea how many people, billions and billions and billions of people, have prayed in his name. How many are doing it right now? Does Jesus know how many people, in exalted moments of tremendous achievement, give praise, thanks, and even credit to him? So that's what my sermon was supposed to be about, all the questions I would ask Jesus to see if he could possibly comprehend how much influence he has had in this world. And then I went to Jeff's recent sermon, titled The Center of the Universe. And if you weren't there, I would recommend catching the recording on our website, uuloudon.org. Jeff time traveled back to visit with Nicholas Copernicus in his own time. And I thought, Eureka, that's a much better idea than bringing Jesus into this tremendously troubling time. So thanks, Jeff. I fear in today's world, there are a great many things being said and done in Jesus' name that he would find deeply, deeply disturbing. And all I'd be doing is making stuff up for Jesus to say about it. Which got me wondering, how many times, how many countless times over the days, weeks, months, years, decades, millennia, have people put words in Jesus' mouth that he simply did not say? Starting, perhaps, with whole portions of the Bible and gospel as they are read and revered today. Or maybe, on the other hand, Jesus did in fact say, "Blessed are the cheesemakers." And if you didn't catch that, go watch Monty Python's The Life of Brian. Thank you, Kurt. I started thinking, maybe Jesus, if he, she, or they is truly watching out over all of us and knows in that all-knowing way of divine beings what in the world is happening on God's green earth right now, these days, maybe they would be truly bone-weary with people quoting them for things they did not say. And yeah, since it's probably my one and only sermon on Jesus, I'm gonna go ahead and make them non-binary. Make them non-binary. I think they'd like that. But more importantly, our resident Jesus scholar, Kurt Asherman, thinks he wouldn't have noticed or asked or cared. So, I dusted off my trusty flux capacitor and set course for the year AD 33. I was aiming to catch Jesus at the Last Supper. I mean, what better dinner to be a guest at? But there was a slight glitch in my flux capacitor. So I actually ended up at the Sermon on the Mount. Now, it turns out that this was quite fortuitous, because when I told Kurt months ago that I'd been foolish enough to sign up for this sermon, he said, and I quote, "Sermon on the Mount." My other great good fortune is my wife, Sandy. She lent me, anybody know what this is? She lent me this camcorder to take with me, since I'd probably be hard pressed to get a signal back in AD 33. And I really, really wanted to record what Jesus actually said. In fact, had I realized sooner that I could time travel for this, the sermon would have been titled, "What Did Jesus Say?" Not, "What Would They Say?" But unfortunately, sermon titles are due long before sermons are done, at least in my case. So anyway, now I'm back with footage, and a big thanks to Gabby for transferring it to digital format so we could share it with you this morning. Here's how they started.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for those is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Doesn't Jesus sound like they would be a UU today? Right from the start, they're talking about justice and equity, two of our core values. They're talking about welcoming everyone, about everyone's inherent worth and dignity. They're talking about compassion. As Jesus went on, they touched on another UU value, pluralism, the idea that we are all sacred beings, diverse in culture, experience, and theology.
You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
As I sat there listening to what Jesus actually had to say at the Sermon on the Mount, it struck me how far afield some of his followers have come from these messages. Jesus believed in practicing selfless generosity, even in the face of abject greed. Let's listen.
You have heard it was said eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also.
And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shot, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks, and do not turn away the one who wants to borrow from you. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, and to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they will receive the reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you.
As much as they had to say about generosity, they had more to say about love, our core value, the very spirit of this church. Among their teachings on love, I found this one profoundly transcendent.
You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise over the evil and good, and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous.
Of course, Jesus had an expansive view of love, the idea that it should be as abundant, as infinite as the sun and the rain. Jesus had a whole lot more to say about love, justice, equity, generosity, pluralism, interdependence, and transformation, which are what? Our new core values. Newish UU values. Or at least we think they did. As it turns out, Jesus did not write any part of the Bible or any other known historical document. Their teachings were shared through spoken oral tradition and later written down by their followers decades after their death. These would be the Gospels of Mark, of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See what a nice Jewish girl can learn about the New Testament just by grabbing Jesus before Martha could? Reflecting on my earliest impression of them at the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus would be a UU today, got me wondering what our own faith has to say about them. And here's where the deep dark web led me on that question, from our association's website, and I quote, UU's thoughts on Jesus reflect the diversity of thought encouraged by our liberal faith. Our principles include a commitment to a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Whatever one's views, there's likely a UU who shares it. Yet we are more than our individual stories. Unitarian Universalism is a religion that claims many sources, including the deeds and teachings of great teachers, the inspiring wisdom in the world's many religions, and our own Jewish and Christian heritage. Clearly, Jesus has a place in this faith. UUs may view Jesus as a moral exemplar, practicing the compassion, generosity, and mercy that he preached. In his own life, and in stories like the Good Shepherd and the Good Samaritan, Jesus calls us to connect, to transcend pride and selfishness, and to choose instead to love and serve, to do good, and to care for each other. End quote. Jesus had such a simple message. It's basically our covenant, to choose love, to be nice. Those of you who were here last week for Alan's sermon, and if not, check that one out too. But if you were here, you will remember that be nice was Alan's father's most frequent advice to his son. Perhaps that's because Alan's family of origin was not. They were not nice to him. When David Benkovsky, raised in an Orthodox Jewish family, fell in love with and married Alan's mother, a Roman Catholic, they disowned him. They mourned him as if he had died. But thank goodness, today, I think we can all attest to the fact that Alan has diligently, consistently, and without fail, followed his father's wise counsel. Be nice. And I believe that was what Jesus preached. If it could be boiled down to a single tagline, that tagline could very easily be nice. In the week ahead, as you encounter rude clerks at the store, be nice. If you're cut off by aggressive drivers, most likely with Maryland plates, be nice, right? As you meet a I didn't think that would get the biggest laugh. As you meet a stranger who is struggling or in trouble, be nice. As you face disappointments from those you were counting on, be nice. As you feel the heaviness of this world weighing you down right now, be nice. Be nice to yourself. After all, our mission is to nurture and heal, and it starts with ourselves first. May it be so. Amen.